Welcome to the Connect You podcast, where we interview guests who have transformed their lives, whether in mind, body, health, or wealth. Connect You seeks to discover what drives people and makes them extraordinary. Brought to you by Lewis Jackson, who brings you exciting real-life stories, hot topics, and the truth.
So welcome back to the Connect You podcast. We have the guy that Airbnb do not want you to know about, Mr. Direct Booking himself, Mark Simpson. So Mark, thank you for coming on, and let's take it away.
Do you want to introduce yourself to everyone? My absolute pleasure. Thank you. Yes. So my name is Mark Simpson, founded Boostly in 2016. And the whole goal is to help hosts all over the world, not just the UK, but all over the world, like increase their direct bookings and cut down on their over-reliance on Airbnb, Booking.com and the Expedia group. And I do so by helping hosts with the tools, the tactics, and all the training that they need to be able to do this. And yeah, it started in 2016 in Scarborough, and it was just me, myself, and I. And now we've got a team of 40 people spread around the world. We help hosts, whether it's short-term rentals, medium-term rentals, whether it's glamping, hotels, bed and breakfast, you name it, all over the world. Doesn't matter what the niche is. It's going well. I think we've got 2,500 clients at present. Like I say, spread from all over, and it's growing and growing and growing on a daily basis.
So obviously it's happened really quickly. And obviously I've been part of that movement as well. And I can definitely recommend that. I think it's fantastic. Thank you. I've been toying with which direction to take the podcast, whether to just keep it business focused or dive a little bit deeper into who Mark really is. Because I'm sure people really want to know what's behind Boostly. And I certainly do. So I'm going to start there and then we'll move on to a bit more of the marketing side of things. I think a lot of people really want to know that. And then we can talk about the business if you're all right with that. So what was it like growing up in Scarborough? Right. Or where were you from?
So I grew up in Scarborough. So where I was born in a little village just on the outside. Scarborough and Whitby, probably the two most popular tourist destinations in the UK. After London, we do get a lot of tourists here. It's known for being a tourist destination. It feels like one in every three houses is either a bed and breakfast, a hotel, or a short-term rental. So I grew up in a hospitality business. My parents converted their 200-acre farm in the 90s, and they flipped it around and put like a little bed and breakfast in there. So I was just so used to growing up with always having strangers in the house. It was great because there's always somebody to play with, always somebody to chat to. But I was in a very small village on the outskirts of Scarborough. So we would literally play football every day, go to school, have the bed and breakfast and whatnot. And I grew up in that. And it was amazing like place to grow up because we were like in the countryside a little bit. But at the same time, I got like that itchy feet, the sort of the cabin fever at the same time when I got into the later teens. And I really wanted to play football. I was just rubbish at playing it, so I was never going to get a job doing that. But I fell into coaching, so I fell into soccer coaching, and I got an opportunity to go to America, and I did that for many years. Never escalated into a green card or anything like that. So I came back to the UK, and that's when it sort of fell into sales and marketing in London. I started working for a company called Quype, which was QYPE. It's a Hamburg-based business, but it was worldwide. It was all about online reviews, and that was later purchased by Yelp. And I was there for like two, three years, living in London, working in that, doing the sales and the marketing. And that was the transition from there, which led us back into the family business, where I came back in it full time, and that really was the kickstart really for what is now Boostly.
So what age did you move away from home again?
So properly left would have been 2002. So it was a year after 9/11. So 2002 I'd have been, early 20s, and I came back sort of mid-20s.
That would have been pretty difficult, obviously, moving away from a family, being part of a village, and then going into America, the hustle and bustle of that.
Yeah, but I loved it. I loved it. I was ready to travel. Growing up, our family holidays were always like Butlin, Skeggy and whatnot. And then in later years when like travel was a bit more cheaper, like flights wise, in like the late late 90s, we then go to Lanzarote, where I was at the busman holiday, because obviously in hospitality, you only get a chance to go away in January or in November. So traveling, seeing new things. And when the opportunity came, when I was doing my qualifications for my UEFA B soccer badge to go to America, I was like, yeah, definitely hands down, I want to do that. And it was just a perfect scenario because we're going over there. We had our H1 visa, so it's 5 months. So 7 months in the UK, 5 months in America. And I had a franchise of a soccer business in the UK. And the boss said, listen, you can go away for 5 months. That's no problem. Come back and you can start up your franchise again. Because I was going away in his busiest time. So he could fill that spot, no problem. So I came back in the winter months. I went winter here and go. And I just did that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it definitely sort of whetted the appetite to do more. My buddy went off to university, came out of university. It was just after the Liverpool Champions League final. I'm a big Liverpool fan. And he was like, want to go traveling. Want to go east. So I'd done all the west and then we did east. So I literally packed a bag, jumped on a flight. We went from London to Bangkok and then just did that for 2 years. We went around Australia and Australasia and all that cool stuff. And then yeah, came back 2009. So it was like 2009. So basically spent the whole pretty much about decades of the noughties doing the traveling. Came back in 2009, and that's when I met my now wife. That's when we moved down to London, and that's really like that sort of progression of like learning the sales and marketing and came back into the business.
So obviously you met your wife 2009. Did she, obviously she brought you back down to earth and said, no, like Mark, we're staying at home now.
Not really, because she's a travel bird as well. Like she was born in South Africa. She's British, but born in South Africa because of her parents, and she'd lived in Saudi. She'd lived in did 2 years in Egypt as a scuba diver, and she'd just come back from doing a season in France doing skiing. So like she was as much as a travel bird as I was, and we made the most of being in London because we were living right next to City Airport. Mm. So whichever money we got spare at the end of the month, which wasn't much, we'd just jump on like an easy jet into Bulgaria or somewhere like that, you know, somewhere cheap. So we did, and it's like even when we had the kids, even when we had Alfie, family or extended family were saying, oh, that's it now. You're grounded, you're not going anywhere. But we were very stubborn Yorkshire people. We're just like, now we're going to keep on these boys to experience, which is what we did, which was the beauty of like having a bed and breakfast business, because we were open for 10 months of the year. We were very, very busy from sort of April until November. And then December and January, we would always close. And in those months, we would go and take the boys and we would travel when we were doing like the day-to-day of that. So even though like coming back in 2009 and like doing the work and stuff and starting to get settled down and stuff, we still, every opportunity we had and we took it, and we still do today.
And what was the sort of, obviously you said that your background is in basically marketing. Tell me more about that, because that's what really, I suppose, kickstarted Boostly.
Yeah, I've always been intrigued with it. Even when I was doing the franchise and the soccer coaching, I was responsible for getting kids on the soccer camps and getting the kids like to do the after school clubs and all of that. And so I had to very quickly figure out the best way of doing it. And, you know, back in 1999, 2000, it was all offline, really. You know, you could do a little bits on the local radio. There's obviously newspaper, but for the most part, it was offline. So referrals and whatnot. And so that sort of intrigued me then. It's like, what can I do that will make my franchise stand out from the other ones and things like that? So it's always been an intriguing part. Even my marketing has always sort of, it was there where I learned about, you know, Google, I learned about search, I learned about the power of online reviews and the emergence then of Facebook and the emergence of Twitter and social media and how that was playing a role. So yeah, it's just always intrigued me. I feel like the more I sort of dig into this and try and break it down, I do like to figure how things work. I've always been like intrigued at how things work and how to sort of master it. Like playing a video game, you try and figure out step by step how things work to try and complete the game. And I definitely look at business and I definitely look at marketing and these different channels, whether it's a Facebook or even like a TikTok, which is like a newer platform. How does it work? How do you master it? And how do you like complete the game?
So really, Boostly is a wire. you started it on the premise of why and how can I get it to where it is now? You're finding out why it works, and then you've implemented a massive process to get it to where it is now, employing 40 members of staff. And then it springboarded you into a position where you've released 3 books.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. When I started Boostly, the background is that I discovered a book called It was 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. Somebody introduced me to Tim Ferriss. And the 4-Hour Workweek is all about outsourcing and not having to do all the work yourself, like, you know, the who, not how sort of mentality. Who can I help to do this instead of me figuring out how to do it? And with that, I sort of looked at our family business, and like, I'm the son of a Yorkshire farmer. Like, the Yorkshire farmers do it all themselves. They work 15 hours of every day, but they're literally up at 5, they come in at 9, they're fast asleep and do it all themselves. And my mum, again, with the business, she was doing a lot of it herself. So I just thought that, you know, you wear that busy badge with a guard of honor. And I just was always busy, like always trying to find something to do myself and whatnot. And then after reading the 4-Hour Workweek, I was like, well, I don't have to be doing all of those things. You know, there's automation that can help with a little bit, but then how else can I help sort of alleviate more time in the day? And so we started to bring in staff and virtual team members, virtual assistants, whatever that may be. This is back in 2015, 2016, discovered things like Upwork and what was called freelancer.com at the time. And it was able to alleviate a bit of the time. So I was able to spend a bit more time with Laura, my wife, and then the Alfie, who was 3 or 4 at the time. And then Charlie was just born in 2015. And then when we were able to sort of sack ourselves from the family business, where we were literally doing just admin, like literally online things, it was like, well, we don't have to be here. Like, we can still make the business run, but I don't have to be actually physically on the farm 24/7. And so with that, what we started to do was travel, which was great. And then the ultimate goal of our family business was to sell it. It was to help my parents retire. We had a number that we had to get to for an annual turnover that would then mean that we could sell it for the number that we wanted to sell it for in the 7 figures, which we got to and which we eventually did. So when the family business sold, it was like, well, what's next? And, I've always had this like sort of entrepreneurial type thing. I wanted to have a business, and I felt, well, Boostly was like a natural transition. And it was like, I can help other hosts do this. I'd been to a couple of meetings in Scarborough, tourism meetings, and I got to meet other hosts of bed and breakfast and rental properties and had conversations with them. And I could see that there was a need and a want and a desire to like learn this stuff, but nobody was helping them. There was one or two people online, but the tactics that they were talking about was outdated or wrong. And I was like, well, you know, fuck it, I'll do it. And so I started a Facebook community without the idea of Boostly. So I started a hospitality community way back when, and it was just to invited Scarborough and Whitby and Bridlington hosts into it, bed and breakfast hosts in. And it was just to show up every day and provide like a bit of an online support, answering questions, helping with X, Y, and Z. And then just over time, more people started to join, like people from York or Edinburgh or down south. And then people for like expats who are based over in France got wind of it, and Spain, and the viral effect kicked off. And I was then getting messages every single day, whether it's on email or a Facebook DM, saying, you know, what do I do with this? Like, how do I do that? And I was like answering all these people. And it was at that point, it's like that sort of that light bulb moment where it's just like, well, this could be a business. There's never no rhyme or reason. There's no like goal of growing it to be 40 members of staff and doing all of these things. It was just, well, I could do this. We could earn a wage. It could pay for like general living expenses and stuff. And we could travel while we're doing it, because it could all be done online. And that is basically how it got going. I started off by doing a couple of one-to-one contracts, which was great, but I could never scale it. I could never grow it, because I could only ever have 4 clients at a time, because my brain capacity could only take like 4 on at a time. So I flipped it from being one-to-one. I scrapped that and I changed it to one-to-many. And then that's where the Boostly Academy, which obviously yourself joined, and Boostly as a whole, so sort of blew up from there, because now anybody could join at any time. They could get access to the training, access to the community, and then they could get access to me. And it meant that I wasn't just focused just on 4 people, when we could get closer to the goal. And that's when that new goal hit of me wanting to help 1 million hosts, because I could really feel it in the Facebook groups that were around, and the Reddit forums, and I could see the Twitter chat, and just sort of general feeling of that they were the OTAs, the online travel agents, were like a necessary evil. They know they needed to be on them, but they didn't like being on them because then they were always reliant on then their rules, their policies, their guests. And, you know, they knew that they needed to do it themselves, but they just didn't know how to do it. And it was just the perfect product, the perfect offer, the perfect scenario at the right time. And it just sort of took off from there.
I'm definitely going to come back to it. Because I think it's like a separate podcast in itself, Booster. I think it's such a it's a fantastic product. It's a fantastic service. When you made the sort of suggestion, if you like, to your family to implement, I suppose, like the 4-hour work week, was you met with any resistance to say, look, we can do this another way? Because I mean, I certainly was. When I made sort of any slight adjustments, it was like, no, we don't have to work 20 hours a day. We can actually introduce some staff here or some different ways of working. Would you met with any resistance?
Oh, massively. And this is why I give my wife a lot of credit, because not only was she working with her husband, she was also working with her in-laws as well. And so obviously there's tons of arguments, tons of resistance, because again, it's the generation of, you know, the generation of where you got to do everything yourself, you know, and all that sort of jazz. You work hard, badge of honor, all of that jazz. Like, I joke that now millennials are now more inclined to hire a cleaner. My mum's generation, Generation Y, or whatever that generation will be, would never ever hire a cleaner. I joke that my mum would be the person who would hire a cleaner and would clean it before the cleaner came in. You know what I mean? I'd just love to have everything done themselves, done the right way. When we tried to implement it, there was tons of kickback. But I didn't implement everything that I wanted to implement. I could just put little things in here and there. So it was just slowly integrating it. So I was like, mum, instead of you having to sit at your computer every single morning when you want to have a cup of coffee, have your breakfast, instead of like answering all of those emails and inquiries, why don't we have somebody do that for you? And it's like at the start, it was met with resistance, but then I just sort of slowly implemented a few things where a few things got done. And then eventually over time, then, you know, mum would be like, you know, that person who's answering the emails, could they do this as well? You know, it's like slowly trying to like bring it in, you know what I mean? So it was just slowly little things at time. It wasn't done where I read the book on like September the 1st, and by September the 2nd, we had everything implemented. It was like slow little bite-sized things. But eventually over time, we were able to implement it. I was able to like sort of say reduce the hours that I was doing, and you know, the income was still the same, the profit was still the same. And it was all good.
I suppose by looking at that, it's almost a, I'm not going to say a bigger achievement, because it'll be a disservice to Boostly, but I know how hard it is. I mean, not to selling it for seven figures, but implementing new changes or offering new changes to an already successful business with that type of generation, no disrespect to any of them, but you're definitely going to be met with resistance. And that's very, very challenging to start in your own one, and you've got your own lovely ideas that you not necessarily know as successful, but it's going to be a very, very hard challenge, and you've made it a success.
Yeah, and like, plus as well, for them it's their baby, you know, it's something that they've made, they've created, they've grown. We've, you know, we're coming into it, like they've asked for us to come in to implement our ideas, but at the same time it's like it's very set in the way. So yeah, it's so hard to do, but they, you know, we did it, we got to where we wanted to be, and now they're happily retired, which is awesome.
So Boostly. Now, obviously, I could probably recite your little mix that's on Instagram, but I won't, because it'll annoy everyone. But like I say, I think it's a fantastic product, a fantastic service. Now, I've obviously been asked loads of questions. How can people save money through the OTAs? And I always direct them to your Instagram, because all the tips and the tricks are there. Anyone that's listening, just Google Mark's name and you'll see it, or just Google Boostly.
Yeah, thank you.
But through what would you say is the biggest tip you could give someone to save money right now on the OTAs?
As in, if they want to make a booking, or if
direct bookings. I'll give an example. So for me personally, people are not putting their properties on the OTAs, and I think that's criminal. So I think you've got to leverage them.
Oh yeah.
In the right way. But people are scared to use them in the right way, because they're not, they haven't got the right education around that. But if they know how to do it, if they know how to automate the process, you're going to get the direct booking. You've got to leverage these platforms in the right way.
Yeah, no, 100%. So, yeah, I mean, if there's anybody right now who has got short-term rental or medium-term rental properties and you're not listed on Airbnb, booking.com, even Vrbo now, you have to be, because you've got to tap into their marketing. You've got to look at Airbnb like you would do Facebook or Instagram or YouTube. These are marketing channels. And that is where the majority of your future potential guests will be. So you have to tap into it. You have to be listed on there. But the trick is to not then fall into the trap of being over-reliant on said platform. Now, unfortunately, over my time of doing this, now speaking to many, 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 many people, I see so many different styles and techniques. And the most common one that I see at the moment is that they've got a short-term rental business and they're listed just on Airbnb. So they then are so reliant on one channel, one platform. Now, that is 100% reliant on Airbnb, which is really bad. Being 100% direct is just as bad, I'm afraid, because if for whatever reason, let's just say the scenario of being 100% reliant on Airbnb, if your listing gets shut down, if there's a guest complaint, if you get a couple of crappy reviews, then your sole income is coming from a channel that is now being corrupted. Now, if you are 100% direct, let's just say that your emails get hacked into, or if you lose access to X, Y, or Z, then again, your whole system is broken down. Now, what you need to be able to do is you need to have a nice, healthy mix. Like if there's any investors out here, you wouldn't just put 100% of your investments into one portfolio. That's silly. That's daft. Everybody says you've got to have a diverse portfolio. So when you're looking at your marketing, you've got to be strategic and you've got to be diverse as well. So you'll have a listing on Airbnb, you'll have a listing on booking.com, you'll have a listing on Vrbo, you'll make sure that you're marketed on Facebook, you make sure you've got an Instagram account, your presence on LinkedIn and et cetera, so that wherever people are searching online, your business is potentially visible and then bookable, which is the main part. And it's all homed and housed with your own branded website. It doesn't matter if you've got one property, you've got four, you've got 10, you've got 20, or 100, you've got to make sure you've got a branded website where someone can find you and book with you directly. And then that branded website is then linked via a booking system to all of the things that I suggested.
And then obviously we'll touch on where people can get a website as well in a second. But one of the other things I wanted to ask is, why are people so afraid to voice what they're actually doing, tell people? I mean, because one of the most powerful strategies that I've even implemented in every single business I've ever had is my phone. Tell people what you do. But they don't do it. They don't tell people what they're actually doing, but they're trying to, I'm going to put it on Airbnb. You've got your phone. Just text everyone. Literally everyone. And I know you've said it to me before. And again, another one would be email. People don't necessarily believe in email. The two most powerful sources of information that no one fucking uses them. Why?
Exactly. And I don't know if it's like maybe the British mentality or just something where you don't want to disturb people or annoy people, but the best place to start when you start any business, doesn't matter whether it is hospitality, whether it is fitness, or if you create an Etsy shop, the best place to start to get potential customers or referrals or leads from is the people that already know, like, love and trust you. And, you're not trying to sell to your friends directly. It's just a very simple four words is, do you know anyone? So start in your phone book, go through like your best friends, your family, your coworkers, people that you know from the school run, and just message, like, any WhatsApp groups you're in, just say, hey, do you know anyone? And don't just do it once, right? Do it several times, but spread it out, like message different people different days, but put like a list together, open up a Google sheet on your computer and just put all the names down, all the phone numbers, like have a little three columns, like column one, column two, column three. It's like first contact, second contact, third contact. And if they don't respond back to you after three times, like say over a spread of 3 months, then don't message them again about it. But if they do get back to you and they say, hey, you know what? I don't know anyone right now, but I know that there's something happening. Something could be a wedding. Something could be an event. Something could be whatever. And it's like, I know that when this is happening, most important thing is to get you to be their top of mind, because my theory is that 70% of people in your phone book haven't got a clue what you do for a living. right? Just because you know what you do, just because you whacked up on your Facebook one post a couple of years ago, doesn't mean that everybody does. So you just got to stay top of mind. So when that situation does happen, where there is a wedding, for example, and they've got family flying in or driving in from out of town and they need a place to stay, instead of them just saying, oh, just, you know, go on Airbnb, go on booking.com, they can say, hey, I've got a friend who's got several properties in the area. Here's his details, get in touch. That is the main thing that you need to be doing. And the beauty of it is, if that feels like a little uncomfortable doing it, then these people know, like, love and trust you. And if you can't reach out to people who know, like, love and trust you, i.e. your best friends or your friends, then, you know, how are you going to market your business in the normal traditional way to complete strangers? So just give that a go. It's the best way to start any business.
And it comes back to having the web presence, social media presence as well. So we'll touch on your websites. Tell us a little bit more about that as well, if you can.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about a web presence as well, people always think, like, oh, I've got to go and get like thousands of followers on Instagram. That's not the case. You just need to have a presence. Because 75%, a recent survey said 75% of travelers will check the social media presence of a property business that they've just booked with or about to book with. It's a big part of the booking process. So whether you see it or you don't, and you can't see it really, you can't see when somebody checks out your Facebook page or your Instagram page, but there are people that are trying to check you out, trying to find you. So you don't need to have thousands of followers. You just need to have a presence on there so they can prove and the trust is there that you're not a fake business. Because one of the big reasons why people don't book or don't book with you is because the trust factor isn't there. Now, the trust factor is there with Airbnb because they've built up this brand. They've built up this sort of community since they got started in the last decade. And so that is why so many people directly go there. Now, if we're going to increase our own bookings, if we're going to get a guest to not book with Airbnb, not book with booking.com, not book with the Expedia Group, but book with us directly, you've got to have that trust. And so to do so, you've got to have that presence. The best and the simplest way and the most cost-effective way is to have a website. So a direct booking website that showcases your business, your brand. It's got your picture. It's got your team pictures if you have one. You've got your portfolio on there. You've got your reviews on there. You know, it's a website that loads quick, that looks great on mobile, that looks great on desktop. That means it's safe and secure. And you've got all the information on there. Then that is the most effective way of doing this, because then you are then confident enough to meet somebody, whether it's a conference, an event, an expo, could be a business networking meeting. And they would be somebody that would be ideal at either passing you potential guests or booking them themselves. You can then say, hey, check out my website, boostly.co.uk. And you know that they can go there and they can get all the information that they need. Now, if you haven't got a website, but you're trying to do this and they say, how do you find you? We say, well, you can find me on Airbnb. How do I find you? Well, you go into the search bar and then you've got to try and type out this very long description. Then you've got to try and put the dates in. But if it won't come up, if the dates aren't available, they're like already thinking, nah, fuck this. I'm not doing that. Yeah. So, you know, the most simple, you got to keep it simple. You know, money loves speed and it hates friction. And so everything that you've got to be able to do, if the Airbnb philosophy, they created that website, that whole platform that anybody can land on that site and be booked within three clicks. So search property, booked. So you got to try and keep it as simple as possible for somebody to book with you. And that's what we've done. So what we did at Boostly is we created direct booking websites as part of our services in 2018. And the reason why we created it is that we had about 100 hosts as part of our private training community at this point. And we were showing them the training, whether it was email, whether it was social media, whether it was SEO, you name it. And the most common kickback was, I would love to implement this, but my website isn't up to scratch, or my website designer can't do it, or I'm not confident in doing it myself. And it was becoming such a big kickback. Then I was like, well, let's just create it ourselves. So we created Boostly Website Design Services. We started to slowly build a team together. We put together a product. We had a very simple wireframe to start with. And then over the years, what we've done is we've looked and studied thousands upon thousands of websites. We've improved it and scaled it and grown as we go. And so now every single one of our Boostly websites is built on WordPress, which is the most commonly used CMS, which is content management system. And what that means is that because it's built on WordPress, Google loves it. And with the things that we've been able to create, it means that anybody now can land on a Boostly website and they can book with you within 3 clicks. It's as simple as that. They find out all the information that they need. It's got all the properties. They can literally find it, book it within 3 clicks. And that's the key of the growth of this direct booking movement, is being able to have the host that have a direct booking website built on WordPress, match that up with a nice, strong social media presence, and then collectively doing proactive marketing behind the scenes, not the reactive marketing. And reactive marketing is where you literally just wait for your phone to ping to say you've got a booking. Proactive marketing is where you're literally going out there, you every day, or a member of your team every day, like trying to spread the word and the message of you and your business.
I think you're being quite modest, mate. I mean, if you shared the amount of revenue that you've generated through direct bookings, I mean, because I know what the platform can do. I know what a direct booking website can actually do and how much it can help. The simple works. Doesn't matter what business you've got. If you ever complicate it, people just don't want to buy it. Doesn't matter whether it's short-term rental or not. The amount of revenue generated, obviously, because I follow you, I can see through the post that you've done.
The latest today was 2.6 million. That's what we generated in 2012 in direct bookings through our tracked websites. So not every single one of our clients, this is the good news for me, and it's what I'm really excited for, is that not every one of our websites is tracked on the new API technology that we've created yet, something we brought in for this year. What it basically means now is that we can track every booking that comes from our websites because of the technology that we've created and the partners that we're working with. So I get latest updates every day, and at the moment it's gone past 2.6 million. For all of our clients that we've got tracked bookings on, which is awesome. And hopefully with the new technology that we're creating and the more websites that are on our portfolio that can get access to technology, it can start to double that for 2023.
That's absolutely fantastic, mate. Which obviously leads me nicely onto your books.
The Book Direct Playbook. Let me see if I can.
In my bag.
So the Book Direct Playbook is one that I brought out this year, start of 2022. It's something that I wanted to do for a while because what I realized is that Amazon is just another marketing channel. Just like Facebook, Instagram is a marketing channel that I wasn't on. So I was on Facebook, one on Instagram, done all of that. Now I needed to be on another marketing channel, which is Amazon. So it's like, right, I started the process last year, went on a book writing course, really enjoyed it. Taught me the whole principles of starting a book from start to finish and how to like fill in the gaps. And so we brought out the Book Direct Playbook in February 2022. And this book is really 101 tips. So it's 101 tips that you can implement into your business. And it's designed very much like another Tim Ferriss book, which is Tools of Titans. Tools of Titans is one of my all-time favorite books because it's one that you can start and you don't have to read it page to page. With Tools of Titans, you can go from one chapter to the next because it's a load of interviews. So I wanted this book to be like that, where you can come into it and go, right, what do I want to learn today? Do I want to learn about social media? Do I want to learn about email or how to structure a website? I mean, there's 101 different tips in here. And that has gone so well. I mean, it was a bestseller.
It was a bestseller, wasn't it?
I think it's got close to 10,000 sales. So it's done really, really well. It was on Audible, print, Kindle. You can still go get a copy now. It's up there regularly in the charts. And the feedback from the readers was that there's so many tips in it that they're struggling. Like people were sending me pictures of like the book just being literally scribbled on all over because they wanted to make notes. So what I did was I brought this out, which is the Book Direct Workbook. So it's the exact same format as the playbook, but as you're in the middle, it's got loads of lines where you can do your work. So there's loads of like little homework to be done within the book. That came out, which was great. That got into the top 10. And then the next book, which is going to be released in December of this year, is called The Blueprint, the Book Direct Blueprint. So this very much in the vein of a Book Direct series. This is a multi-author book. So it's not just me. Now, the playbook is all about the tactics, the marketing tactics. The blueprint is about the things you need to put behind the scenes into your business that means that you can not only start a hospitality brand, but you can scale it and grow it and potentially sell it. And you've got to do that by having the right systems and structures in place. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to reach out to friends and vendors and partners in the industry and say, hey, I want you to be part of this book. So I've got a company that is associated with trust, which is how do you build that trust? One that's associated with upsells. So how can you make more money per booking? We've only got a certain amount of heads on beds. We've only got a certain amount of inventories. How can we make more money on upsells, i.e. bike rentals? We've got Price Labs. That's the dynamic pricing software tool. They've got a chapter in the book. We've got Touch Day, which is the digital guidebook. It's creating that guest experience. Uplisting is a property management software, which is what we're talking about, the booking engine. And then we've got DAC, Tech Tape, Superhog, Minoan, D-Travel, which is cryptocurrency, bringing that into hospitality. And then Co-Host Expert, which is working with corporate brands. And Boothley's got a chapter as well. So all 11 of us came together and we put this book together, and that's coming out in December. And I'm really looking forward to that, because with the combination of these three books, any host, doesn't matter how many properties you've got, anywhere in the world can pick it up, pick up a copy, whether it's the audio, Kindle, print, and they can build and grow and scale a direct booking hospitality brand business from literally these three books, which is amazing to be able to do it. Ideally, I wouldn't have done the second or the third book in 2022, but it just got to a point where I was like, I can do three books in a year here. And so we're going for it. December, all the profits of the book sales for the blueprint, and this is what excites me the most. With all the authors have agreed, we're going to put all the profits to food bank charities, which is awesome. So we can raise a bit of money for charity as well. That's why we really want to push out in December and get it done as soon as possible. So yeah, be ready. It's going to be called the Book Direct Blueprint. You can go and register your interest for when it's the released at bookdirectblueprint.com.
So obviously I'm going to be putting all the links to Boothley, your page, the website and the books in the description below. But what's next for yourself, mate, and the family as well? Because they're a huge part of this.
Oh, massive. I mean,
I see you all the time with them. You're a massive family man as well, as am I. You're always introducing the kids and doing your daily routine with them. I see it all the time, which I think is amazing, because it's not easy running a business with kids.
No, well, that's the one thing that I'm most proud of with growing Boothley, is that we've grown and scaled a business that is, you know, a seven figure a year business, but I've never sacrificed the time with the kids and Laura, like with the family time. It's something that was like a big part of what I wanted to do, which is why we did this. Like working in hospitality for all those years, you know, there's a lot of the times when with the family business where I was so reliant on that badge of honor of like being busy that I didn't spend any time with Alfie, like the eldest. And then when Charlie came along, and obviously with Frankie, that flipped and changed. And so growing Boothley and doing all those things and not ever sacrificing the time with the family has been a major, major part. I mean, they're at school now. I'm finished like in about an hour and go and do the school run. And it's a big thing for me to do like 99.9% of the school runs, morning and afternoon, and not have to miss that. So that's been a big part for me. What's next for Boothley? We just want to continue to make more partnerships with more of the vendors. So how can we work with more property management softwares? We got 11 at the moment. How can we get that to 20? How can we get that to 30? Because when we're partnered up with more property management softwares, it means that we can help and influence more hosts who are with X property management software, like whether that's Hostfully or Hostaway or Guesty, Uplisting. I mean, we're with a number and we want to continue that. And just continue making an impact through podcasts and through, the Boothley podcast just passed 500 episodes. And the YouTube channel is going through some big growth at the moment. And just continuing to work with like good people, bringing in good people to Boothley. And, you know, making sure that, we're growing and keeping the impact going.
Well, I think you've done an amazing job from obviously helping your family, growing a business. But most importantly, what people don't see is your consistency from 5 years ago when you first started your YouTube and your social media channels, doing that every single day, religiously, every day or every week you're posting. You even got banned from Facebook, which people probably don't know, from the Facebook group. You got kicked out of them, didn't you?
Yeah, I got locked out of my old personal account on Facebook. It was the end of 2020, and you know, this is where I talk about this a lot, but we talk about you've got to have an email list. You've got to have a list and build a list. And, you know, Facebook was a major generator of new business for Boostly. It was massive. And luckily I had the email list, because when I got locked out, I got lost contact with everybody, anybody who was a friend of me, anybody who sent me a message, to groups I was part of. And so I was very quickly able to say, hey, you know, my Facebook account's being locked out. Instagram is here. LinkedIn is here. If you want to keep in touch. Luckily, I still got access to the business page. So I was able to like get hold of that. And obviously the business page is still there. But it's a big part. I mean, the main thing that I'll say to everybody, and I see it not just with what I've done, but now with what other business owners and hosts are doing, consistency is everything. And I talk about being top of mind. Talked about it with like the friend example before, but it's like with everything, if you can keep consistent, if you can keep present and posting and visible, then you will never be forgotten. The last couple of years is a big part of it. Like when everything was going a bit crazy in 2020, the business owners that just stopped posting, the business owners that went offline and quiet, when things started to go back to normal, it was very hard for them to get going again because they'd been forgotten about. Those that kept on posting, even on days when they didn't want to, those are the ones that now are seeing the fruition and the benefits from it. There's like a challenge that I said, I guarantee if you can just post one thing on social media every single day for 365 days, within that 365 days, something good will happen for you and your business. I guarantee it's consistency. Literally is it. And it's not just posting crap every day. It's like posting like good things. It's something that is meaningful, whatever your meaningful is. And if you do that consistently, then good things will happen for you and your business.
I completely agree with you, mate. I mean, again, watching your journey, it's inspiring. It certainly inspired me. And anyone else watching this, there's no way it wouldn't, watching you for that period of time, mate. And I think that really, literally, you've just answered my last question, is for anyone starting out, what would be your last tip? And that is remain consistent, I presume. And
document. That's it. Yeah, because now I've got 6 years that I can look back on, and whether it's on YouTube or even just our own like private like Dropbox file, I've got a video that I can go back to and just see what it was like a year in, or 2 years in, or 3 years into Boostly. And it's amazing to be able to do it, to be able to document that process, because when you post online and if you're always selling every single day, even if you're being consistent, people will switch off, because they don't go onto social media to buy. It's not going onto Amazon. You go onto Amazon to buy. When somebody opens up Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, they're going to be entertained or check into, see what friends are doing, right? So people follow stories. People like stories. Stories have been around since the beginning of time. Stories is everything to us as a species. And so if you can document your journey, you are telling a story. And if there's somebody that like follows you or becomes a friend with you online and like likes your vibe and whatnot, and then they join in from the start, it's like they're joining in on your journey. Even if they don't become a customer or a client, they will recommend somebody to you, even if simply by following your stories or your posts or whatever. So my advice would be consistent, document your journey. Even if you feel like there's nothing to document it. Just post something, one thing a day. I promise you, if you do that consistently over a year, like good things will happen.
I couldn't agree more. And I mean, obviously it's got you into the position whereby you can now pick your kids up, or take your kids to school. You can pick them up. And obviously you've grown Boostly to a seven figure business. And for anyone listening that doesn't want to post, you can obviously implement things where you do a day's worth of content. There's other ways, but again, you can reach out to Mark. Mark will be able to help you with that. That's not my expertise at all. But again, being consistent for 6 years, will definitely, like I say, reach out to Mark for that. But Mark, it's been brilliant having you on. I really appreciate that, mate. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Connect You podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share this on your socials, tag me, and leave a review.